Got another letter today. Lives changing. If that's true for you, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you. Remember, the just shall live by faith.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Jerome Corsi, a graduate of Harvard University. He writes regularly for WorldNet Daily and a prolific writer of books and certainly one of our most valued guests here at Radio Liberty. Dr. Corsi, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Stan, always a great pleasure. Thank you.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, let's start with the cap-and-trade legislation that President Obama has proposed to Congress. I think this is a major issue, this and the health care legislation. I think there are two potentially big defeats for the Obama administration. And I want to really go into tonight a little bit what both are about and why I think neither one is going to be passed into law.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, so far, it looks like that cap and trade is going to go through. I hope you are absolutely right, because it is going to be a disaster. It's going to raise massive taxes as far as gasoline is going to concern. It's going to raise the price of our electricity and certainly drive more and more of our major factories out of this country, you know, where they can get cheap power. They're not going to stay here and pay two or three times the amount they're paying now for electricity. I just hope and pray that you're right, that this is going to go down in flames. So why don't you pick up and explain to our listeners about cap and trade and really the fraudulent nature that is driving this phony science.
Well, first of all, let's make sure everybody knows what cap and trade is. It's a bill that President Obama has proposed be passed, and essentially what it does is the carbon emissions, and carbon emissions are generated by, let's say, coal producing electric plants or any business which is manufacturing and produces carbon emissions, down to really anything. I mean, we breathe and produce carbon. Carbon dioxide is part of our, you know, what we exhale. So the basic argument is that carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas, supposedly, and it's causing the planet to heat up global warming, and that we're going to have climatic change, which is dramatic and detrimental, the raising of the oceans, like Al Gore says, and when the Earth raises, the ice caps will melt and the oceans will raise in their levels, and so therefore cities on the coast will be inundated with water, and there'll be dramatic changes in the climate. It'll produce hurricanes and other horrible climactic events if we don't cap carbon dioxide emissions. That's the basic argument. Now, the reason I think it's not going to pass is, first of all, let's talk about the science. The science behind cap and trade is by no means settled. I've been writing extensively in WorldNet Daily and in Red Alert, my newsletter, my economic newsletter, redalert.wnd.com, that cap and trade is not something where carbon emissions are generally agreed by scientists around the world produces global warming. There's a lot of scientific disagreement on the point.
Well, I would think the majority of the scientists who are honest are on the other side. There have been over 31,000 scientists who've signed a petition by our good friend Art Robinson saying there's no evidence that man's activity has raised the level of CO2.
That's correct. And as we get into it after the break here, I want to go into some recent studies which continue to show that carbon dioxide is not the reason for any global warming we're experiencing, if in fact we're experiencing global warming.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi. You go right ahead.
Well, first of all, Al Gore has now admitted, he gave a presentation and he said that really the agenda behind global warming is global governance. It's a global governance scheme. Now, recently there's been a study, it was just published in Nature Geoscience, and it was done by a group of scientists, including the lead scientist from Rice University. And what they've done is they've looked at a period of time 55 million years ago, which is the Paleocenic Ecocene thermal maximum. This was a period of time 55 million years ago when the Earth was much warmer, and in fact the ice caps did melt. There was no ice around the world, and the ocean levels raised as a consequence. And these scientists, Gerald Dickens was the major scientist from Rice University, and they were able to show that, in fact, yes, there were higher carbon levels, but the amount of carbon in the atmosphere, carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which increased by about 70% during this particular Paleocenic Ecocene thermal maximum period, did not account for the raising of the temperature at that time. So they were saying that in that period, that 55 million years ago, carbon dioxide increased by about 70% in the atmosphere. That's important because Al Gore is claiming we're going to have a doubling of carbon dioxide that's going to produce global warming. But the key point the scientists were able to demonstrate is that the global warming alone only accounted for a small percentage of the global warming at that time. So there were other factors involved besides carbon dioxide. And I guess I'm trying to bring it down to a common sense level by saying, for instance, we've had many, many different epochs and eras in the Earth history going back millions of years when the Earth has warmed up and cooled down. And just to make it understandable to everybody, look at tens of thousands of years ago, the Great Lakes were covered by glaciers, and there were mammoths running around North America. But it was not the carbon produced, the carbon fires by the cavemen that caused the glaciers to retreat or the woolly mammoths to die out. And I've produced charts, there's been some charts done by some earth scientists, climatologist Cliff Harris, and meteorologist Randy Mann.
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought there. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Dr. Corsi is talking about material that's been coming out in scientific journals by lead scientists throughout the world who are pointing out that down through the ages, many, many times, why we've had periods of global warming followed by periods of global cooling. But the one thing that they have pointed out is that it was not the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which was much higher than it is today, that created the global warming, in ages past. So you pick the story up there.
Well, I just want to take another period of time. There's this little ice age, and if anybody has seen the documentaries that have been done on the History Channel, for instance, the little ice age started at the end of the medieval period, about 1300, and it went all the way through about 1800, right about just after the Revolutionary War. In fact, if you can remember the little ice age, the pictures of Washington crossing the Delaware River. There were huge ice floes. And I live near the Delaware River. I live in New Jersey. Delaware does not even flow, doesn't even freeze anymore in the winters. And this little ice age is also responsible for when Napoleon's army invaded Russia. Largely the little ice age, the very severe winters, caused Napoleon's army to starve. It wasn't food, and it began about 1800 warming up again. Now, we've had warmer periods. It's clear the Earth is warm, but it's not been enough human activity or industrial activity to have accounted for these dramatic shifts in ice forming and ice melting away. And really, you know, going back through millennium, we can track historically that there have been great periods of warming and cooling. So the entire idea here that we're going to impose a tax or a carbon scheme where, let's say, coal-producing electrical plants are going to have to pay a tax or buy carbon emission permits from the government in order to generate electricity by coal, well, that's predicated on the idea that these carbon emissions are so detrimental, they're going to cause the Earth to warm up, and we're going to have the return of the raising of the ocean, and the science just doesn't justify it. Now, understand, when you look at the projections of what this cap and trade is going to do to the U.S. economy, because it's also clear that countries like China, India, the developing nations, are not going to participate. So at the last G8 meeting, and I think this is really important because President Obama made a huge effort at the last G8 meeting to have the G8 agree to impose worldwide carbon emission limits. Now, China, India, the developing nations came to the G8, this recent meeting in Italy, and they argued they weren't going to set any limits on their industrial activity. Now, James Inhofe, the senator, the Republican senator from Oklahoma, was questioning the EPA administrator, Lisa Jackson, and she confirmed that, in fact, if China, India, and the developing nations don't go along with this carbon emission scheme, that, in fact, the impact on global emissions worldwide is going to be insignificant. It'll just end up being a detriment and a punishment to U.S. industry. Now, this goes along with what I've been saying, and that is that this whole global warming agenda is a political agenda. It's not a scientific agenda. And I quote Peter Orszag, who is, has held positions. He was the director of the Office of Management and Budget currently in the Obama administration. He also held positions in the Bush administration. He testified before Congress on cap and trade in 2008 when he was head of the Congressional Budget Office in the Bush administration, and he said it was going to amount to about $145 billion a year tax on U.S. businesses. In fact, Orszag claimed that the only way cap and trade would work is if it created this economic punishment for coal-producing electrical plants or businesses, manufacturing plants that, in fact, emitted carbon dioxide as part of their operations. So millions of jobs in the United States are going to be lost. And in fact, if you look at the legislation, in the internal parts, they have billions of dollars allocated for retraining, admitting that millions of Americans are going to lose their jobs once this cap-and-trade becomes effective. Now, in the middle of one of the most severe recessions we've had since the Great Depression, the idea of taking science, which is less than 100% agreed upon, and imposing a carbon tax on U.S. businesses is only going to create a situation where there's more economic harm in the United States, more jobs lost, more businesses closed, more manufacturing going to China and the developing world. And I think at the bottom of this, Dr. Sand, there's a agenda ideologically from the far left that President Obama reflects, which is essentially anti-free enterprise and anti-business and anti-industrial activity.
And I think this is also anti-American. I think that they want to wreck our society, and this will, one of the best ways to possibly do it would be to tax our industries out of existence, to run up the cost of electricity, and they have to have electricity in an industrialized society. They want to de-industrialize America. Nobody's talking about that this is an internal attack on America. Our enemies aren't over in a cave in Pakistan. They're sitting right in the offices in Washington, D.C., with an intense hatred for this country and everything it represents.
And a key reason also I think the bill is going to fail is that in the last 2 weeks, Senator Byrd, who's a Democrat from West Virginia, and Senator Byrd's probably one of the most senior members of the Senate, probably the oldest right now, has come out against the Obama administration cap-and-trade legislation, largely because West Virginia is a coal-producing state. Now, if you remember, during the campaign, President Obama himself said that we were able to have clean coal. Well, now, Senator Byrd has said he will not support the cap-and-trade legislation. He's saying because he understands that coal is part of the nation's potential for energy independence, especially clean coal. Now, if the Obama administration loses the support of Senator Byrd in the Senate, that's key Democratic support. And I remind everybody that going back to the importance of Senator Byrd, as senior as he is and as advanced in age, when Bill Clinton was facing impeachment and he was impeached and the trial came to the Senate, the idea of having a trial to remove Bill Clinton from office over the Monica Lewinsky incident, when Bill Clinton lied under oath that he'd had sex with Monica Lewinsky, Robert Byrd was the one senator who saved Bill Clinton. He went into the well of the Senate and he pulled out various court cases in which he argued that there was an exception in perjury law where somebody was allowed to lie if the lie so impacted them personally that it would destroy, for instance, their marriage. Now, Senator Byrd turned, and that basically prevented Bill Clinton from being convicted by the Senate. There was no trial. Once Senator Byrd went to the well of the Senate and said, I will not support a trial in the Senate to remove Bill Clinton from office, to convict him on these impeached charges, which had been brought by the House of Representatives, the action ended against Bill Clinton. If Barack Obama loses Senator Byrd's support, I think cap and trade is doomed.
Well, I certainly hope that is actually the case, because this would be the worst disaster that could befall our nation. And really what it's going to do will be to certainly raise the taxes on gasoline. They're talking about a 77-cent a gallon federal tax on gasoline. It's going to run up the cost of the home electricity, of business electricity. It is really going to strip our industry of the ability to compete effectively throughout the world, because part of the expense of everything that's produced is the power that's used. It would raise the prices of the goods we buy, but also it would raise the price of the goods we sell overseas. And, of course, they're not going to do foolish things like this overseas. So their products would undersell us all throughout the world. And as you say, Dr. Corsi, this is an attack on the very survival of America as an industrialized society. I hope and pray you're correct.
Well, and I think also, I've been following very closely the health care legislation, and I think President Obama is running into problems in Congress as well. Just today, U.S. Representative Mike Ross, who's a Democrat from Arkansas, now, he's important because he's a leader of the fiscally conservative House Democrats, and he said basically that this Barack Obama scheme for universal health care is losing support among Democrats in Congress, in the House, and it's stuck in committee, because essentially it's going to have a $1 trillion cost. And Barack Obama's caught in this dilemma. I mean, he's wanting to put a surtax on Americans earning as a family over $350,000 combined income, reporting as husband and wife. And, you know, a 1% surtax on $350,000 is another $3,500 in tax. And Drudge all day has been running a headline saying in New York, the highest rates could be over 57% taxation for New York residents.
And that's exactly what the recent editorial of the Wall Street Journal said, 57-58% for residents of California and New York. And who's going to go out and work and try to make money and risk money you know, when you're going to give 57-58% to the government in taxation, there's no better way to prevent a recovery from a recession than to increase taxes, which is exactly what they're suggesting. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi. We'll look at Obamacare, or maybe we should say abominable care. Right ahead, Jerry.
Well, Dr. Stan, this is what I discussed in my book, The Obama Nation, is that President Obama is not a president. He's Saul Alinsky-oriented. He was trained Saul Alinsky-Alcott.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Health care bills are still in committee. Now, and in fact, President Obama realizes, I think correctly, that unless these bills are passed before the August recess, they'll never be passed. Because once the congressmen who are all up for re-election in 2010 and and the senators who are up for re-election, one-third of the Senate in 2010, when they go home to their constituents and they realize that there's such tremendous resistance to increase taxes, I think unless President Obama can jam these bills through Congress in the next few weeks, they're going to fail. Now, the administration also made another big mistake today. Vice President Joe Biden, who is an absolute gaffe machine, he today attended an AARP town meeting. He was out giving speeches again. He was in Alexandria, Virginia. And basically what Joe Biden said was that unless the Democratic-supported health care plan becomes law, the nation's going to go bankrupt. All the health cares. He said the only way to avoid the nation going bankrupt is for the government to spend more money. Now, that makes absolutely no sense at all. It looks like the Obama administration is going to run about a $2.5 trillion deficit, with a T, in 2009, and I've documented that it's going to be a $4 trillion deficit. At least that's what Treasury is planning to go out and raise in terms of new debt in 2010. Now, how we're going to save bankrupting the United States by these huge deficits and a health care plan that could cost $1 trillion more, I don't think the American public is going to go for it. The Obama administration is failing and losing right now in terms of public opinion dramatically. In fact, shockingly, the Barack Obama administration is dropping in the polls like a rock. And I think the reason is the American public is realizing that the $787 billion stimulus did not produce jobs. The deficits are not producing jobs. We're headed to 10% unemployment. And both cap and trade and this health care scheme are huge new tax schemes that are going to further depress the U.S. economy and cost Americans jobs.
But I think, from my point of view as a senior citizen on Medicare, and even though I disagree with the philosophy of Medicare, I mean, I think for the average senior citizen, if they realize that this is going to cut back on the availability of health care for seniors, it is going to ration access to health care for seniors, it's about time the senior citizens of this country and people who have their parents on Medicare understand that this whole program is designed to begin cutting back dramatically on Medicare facilities for the elderly.
And what's happening is that it can only work, these universal health schemes that are paid for by the government in countries like Great Britain and Canada, which have these schemes, the only way they work is by rationing care to seniors. In other words, seniors had better be ready to be told by the government, you don't qualify for that medical treatment you need because you're too old and you're going to die anyway. And that callous kind of attitude is going to mean that seniors had better recognize that if they fall for this huge tax on health care, they buy, if they drink the Kool-Aid of the Obama rhetoric, they're really signing their own death warrants.
And you're going to have committees, bureaucratic committees, determining what medical care should be given to the elderly and at what age you'd begin cutting off health care. And believe me, when they're looking at the bottom line, when they're looking at the dollars, they're going to start restricting the use of health care. In fact, they're already saying, you know, that 30% of the cost of health care for an individual takes place in the last year of life. So why should we be wasting money in the last year of life? The only problem with that philosophy is, as a physician for 35 years, I was never able to know exactly when the last year of life was coming. Sometimes you felt people were going to die, and they lived on for decades after, Chris, you'd already made that decision. That's a decision that's really up to God, not to the physician. But, of course, we're going to have bureaucrats playing God, and they're going to begin saying, look, they're going to die anyway. Why should we waste money on them? Because, you see, when you have a bureaucracy, they have no human compassion. They're looking at figures. You're running out of money. What do? You limit access to health care. That's my concern. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi, and we're talking about Obamacare, or perhaps, as we said, abominable care. We're talking about cap and trade. two attacks on life in America as we know it. And this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi. Go right ahead. Pick the story up there, Jerry.
Well, Dr. Stan, if you take a look at what Joe Biden was saying, and that is that we're basically, the United States is already bankrupt, and the only way we're going to be able to afford this comprehensive medical care is by $1 trillion. It's going to have to be raised somewhere, and the idea of taxing the rich is going to pose such huge costs on really the Americans who are creating jobs, people, supposedly the rich, people making over $350,000 as couples. These are small business owners. If they're given no incentive to create jobs or no incentive to keep their businesses going, then there's no way economically that this healthcare system can work. Now, President Obama, I think, has been losing points dramatically. When he was at the All-Star game this week, not only did he pitch throw the first ball out and didn't even reach the plate, he threw it, bounced it in front of the plate. Well, that's neither here nor there. But when he was in the booth with the announcers and they were saying, well, the National League may need a bailout, President Obama said the United States is bankrupt. We're broke. Now, if we're broke, that should be evidence and indication to everyone that if this universal health care insurance is going to be put into place, it's going to involve a massive tax. And the only way it can work is if doctors earn less money and health care is rationed. And the rationing is going to hit seniors first. Because under the bureaucrats who are going to be administering this system, just like in Canada or in Great Britain, they tell you, I'm sorry, you've got to wait 9 months for that treatment, or you can't get it at all because you're old and you're going to die anyway, this destroys the fundamental ability of Americans with their doctors to make their own decisions as to what medical treatment is necessary to preserve their lives. And I don't want some bureaucrat deciding for me that I don't need to continue living. That's just simply, at the core of this socialist scheme, if you take a look at Canada, people from Canada need medical treatment are having to come to the United States and pay for it, because in Canada you can't get blood work, you can't get advanced treatment, you can't get MRIs, you can't get all the essential diagnostic care that you need in order to stay alive. You've got some 35-year-old bureaucrat or 25-year-old bureaucrat looking at you and saying, I'm sorry, you're over 65. What do you need to extend your life for? You're already going to die.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Dr. Jerome Corsi, and we're talking about Obamacare. And certainly, Dr. Corsi was simply saying that where is the money going to come from? Well, of course, they're going to have to ration access to health care. They're going to have to certainly do everything they can to cut back on the overutilization of health care, and, of course, it's going to cost more money. Now, one of the things that really disturbs me is the fact that they're telling small business owners, well, if you don't go out and put out another additional 10% of your salaries for health care, why, we're going to charge you 8%. In other words, we're going to charge you 8% of what the salaries are so we can provide the health care. But what you're going to do then is run up the cost of production, and an awful lot of small businesses are going to start cutting back on the number of employees. After all, if you have to provide health care for them, why not cut back on the number of employees, get the number of employees you keep on working longer hours to get the work done? And here in the midst of a recession, we're going to see more and more people losing their jobs. Well, before we go on, Jerry, I'd like you to get your webpage out, tell people how they can get your material and your special reports that you're putting out today.
Well, Dr. Stan, I'm a senior staff reporter on WorldNet Daily, and I'm writing a WorldNet Daily on a constant basis. I also write a weekly economic strategic newsletter. It's called Red Alert. And you can find it at redalert.wnd for WorldNet Daily, redalert.wnd.com. I write it every week, and it costs under $100 a year, so it's actually less than $2 an issue. And I'm covering these issues in a way that people are getting the truth behind the economics affecting their lives in a way that's not covered by the mainstream media.
Well, I think that we are in real trouble economically. And the last thing we want, of course, is to have the additional burden of the cap and trade, which is going to destroy our industries because they're going to have to be paying so much additional for electricity, as, of course, is the average individual. I mean, they tried this sort of thing, this wind power, this solar power, they call it green energy over in Spain, and it was a disaster. They lost 2.5 jobs for every job they created, and it cost so much, and certainly Spain is in a real basket case now. We think our unemployment's high. I think their unemployment there is 15% to 18% that they'll admit to. Do we really want to bring that to the United States? So if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, I would be the last person to say we don't have problems with the healthcare delivery system here at the present time, but this is not because, of course, of the free enterprise system. It's because all the government regulations. I can remember, I'm old enough to remember, when the most expensive a hospital room at Merritt Hospital in Oakland was $13 a day, and that took care of the operating room expenses. Today, it might very well be $13,000 a day, and most of the run-up in the cost of healthcare delivery and hospitalization is a direct result of government interference in the private healthcare system. It used to be that hospitals were there to take care of people. They were certainly charitable institutions. Now they've become businesses, and government has forced them to become businesses. And our nurses spend far more time filling out government forms than they do taking care of patients. And as the director of our local hospital said to me one time, I mean, you've got more chance of winning the lottery than you have of getting a back rub in our hospital today. At one time, you got personal care, and you just don't get it today. And it is because of government interference in the whole healthcare delivery system where we are today. Well, let's go ahead. Somebody wants to talk about another issue, and I really don't want to get into hate legislation, things of that sort. So I'm going to ask John if he doesn't have something else to talk about. We're going to open our lines to people who want to talk about certainly about this issue. And this is Obamacare, medical care, and the cap and trade issue. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, do you really think that we're going to be able to get enough opposition from the American people? They seem to be so concerned about what's happening economically that are they really going to rally together and demand that their duly elected representatives block these two disastrous pieces of legislation?
I think the momentum is building. We also had today the director of the Congressional Budget Office who came out and said that the deficits, and $2.5, I'm estimating, trillion-dollar deficit that Barack Obama is going to run in 2009. And by the way, Dr. Stan, this is our first trillion-dollar deficit on a cash basis ever. It's going to be $2.5 trillion. So the director of the Congressional Budget Office told the Senate Budget Committee, that the Congressional Budget Office analysis is that these deficits are unsustainable because the federal debt's growing much faster than the economy over the long run. And when you look at what the projected costs are, it's the rising cost for health care and the aging of the population. We've already got about a $65 trillion negative net worth. When you look at the estimated future costs that are incurred today for Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security to be provided to the baby boomers and beyond, and there's no way, I mean, we could tax everything, 100% of everything everybody earns, and we have no way that we can pay already the obligations that we have committed to under Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Now, when the Congressional Budget Office is telling the administration and the Congress that, you know, we cannot have, right now we've got about a 30% ratio between our debt and our GDP, and it's growing dramatically. We could easily get to a point where our debt service is up to a percentage that we can't sustain it. And that's the concern with the, see, the federal government runs a budget on a cash basis. The money that comes in is spent. And on a cash basis, we're at a $2.5 trillion deficit under President Obama in 2009. When you look at a gap accounting, which is generally accepted accounting principles, and you take into account the current net present value of the future obligations that we're creating, it's not $2.5 trillion, it's about a $65 trillion negative net worth. So in other words, we're already bankrupt. In the United States, we've got to come to the realization that we're asking China and the oil-producing countries that have revenue from our oil dependence on foreign oil to buy Treasury debt. And that's the only way we're financing these huge deficits today. In the future, there's no way the foreign nations are going to be able to sustain these huge debt obligations that we've accumulated. They're just unsustainable already. And then to add on top of it, universal health care insurance that President Obama wants to pass in this current law will completely throw it over the top. You'll have to tax, so-called tax the rich, this class warfare that Saul Alinsky and the far left has always wanted to do, redistributing wealth. It just won't work. Because when you get to taxes in New York City, 57%, 58%, when you get to punish people who are creating wealth in small businesses, creating jobs, so there's no more incentive to create a small business because you've got all the federal regulations to begin with, and then if you manage to make a profit, you lose it all in taxation. This is simply a disastrous formula for further bankrupting the United States. I think the American people are catching on to the fact that we cannot get out of a recession through deficit spending.
Well, I think it's so interesting the way that they do everything with smoke and mirrors. Now, we're told, of course, that the there's a large segment of our population, at least 40%, that doesn't pay any federal income taxes at all. In fact, many of these people actually get rebates for the fact that they haven't made enough, and they actually don't pay any income tax. They actually get money back at the end of the year, which is a ridiculous thing. It is simply a gimmick. So you can get people to vote and to keep the present system going. What nobody ever mentions, of course, is that everybody is paying, who is working, is paying into their Social Security and Medicare fund, and that money is simply being spent. There is no fund there at all. And these people think that they're going to get their Social Security and Medicare when they retire, and they're just not going to get it. And people don't understand that they're already, between they and their employer, paying a 15% tax in the present time. And the government is simply spends the money, then they add it onto the national debt. This is why one of the reasons why we have this. They do all this accounting with smoke and mirrors, and the average individual doesn't understand that they're stealing the money from the Social Security Trust Fund. They have stolen the money from the Medicare Trust Fund, and now they're getting into trouble because they're actually putting out more in Medicare payments than they're taking in under Medicare, and as more and more people lose their jobs, there's going to be less and less money coming in, and the whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down very soon, and people are better start getting prepared for very difficult times that lie ahead. What are your thoughts on that, Jerry?
Well, I'm also following in my Red Alert newsletter. I've been tracking just at this recent G8 meeting in Italy. China let the United States again know that China is not going to continue buying U.S. Treasury debt, which is now in the trillions of dollars. China has nearly $2 trillion in foreign exchange reserves. Our negative balance of trade with China, largely through buying cheap Chinese goods and flooding the United States with them, Well, nearly 80% of China's $2 trillion in foreign exchange reserves is currently invested in dollar assets. They've got almost $800 billion in U.S. Treasury or U.S. government agency debt. Now, the problem is that if the massive deficits we're running cause the dollar to devaluate, China is going to suffer huge losses in its dollar holdings. Even if we meet all of our debt obligations, we'll be paying off the debt in cheaper dollars. Now, China's just said they don't want to do it anymore. In fact, they're pushing for a new global currency to be created through the International Monetary Fund, the special drawing rights, because they want to replace the dollar as the foreign exchange reserve currency of the world. Now, what this means is that China's saying, look, they'd rather buy gold, they'd rather buy U.S. real estate with their foreign exchange holdings, they'd rather get oil and gas, natural reserves bought around the world. Why continue buying U.S. debt when the United States is out of control on how much debt we're going to issue? We've never issued trillions of dollars of debt every year. George Bush had one of the largest deficits ever. It was $400 billion on a cash basis. That was the most recent debt, the negative federal budget number in 2008. The 2009 federal deficit under President Obama is five times that amount at a minimum, probably $2.5 trillion. Now, how we're going to sell that debt without increasing interest rates? And trying to convince countries like China to hold debt, the U.S. dollar debt, which could ultimately be depreciating in value, is something that is a reality that the Obama administration's socialist agenda is going to have to encounter. And I think the first indications of this, I'm predicting, are going to be that Congress is going to say no to cap and trade, and they're going to say no to the health insurance bill. Neither one's going to get through Congress. It's going to take the American people. American people are going to have to get involved. They're going to have to call their congressmen. They're going to have to call their senators, just like we did in the immigration debate when Senators Kennedy and McCain proposed comprehensive immigration reform twice in the Bush administration. If Congress hears, the American people won't put up with this. And Congress does not pass these bills immediately before the August recess. I think when Congress goes home and talks to the American people, they're going to realize the American people have lost already confidence in President Obama, because he has no plan other than to spend money we don't have.
And, you know, I think it's really something every American should stop and think about. The United States today is almost totally reliant upon a brutal communist dictator to buy our debt, to keep our whole economy afloat, and to keep the whole financial ship of the United States from sinking. What happens if they decide, we're not going to buy your debt anymore? People say they can't do that. Why I think that they'd lose, too. It'd destroy the value of the dollar. They'd destroy the value of all of their reserves. But are they really more concerned about that? Are they concerned about, would they like to destroy the United States? Are there people out there in the rest of the world, in some of these other countries, who hate America, and they're just letting us borrow more and more and more until finally we get to the point where we're not able to continue funding our military? Right now, our military's in real trouble. We're expanding the war over there in Afghanistan. They're talking about more troops going over. Certainly, there's a great deal of instability in Pakistan. There's a very real possibility that there could be a confrontation with Iran. How could we possibly fund that? We are fighting the war in Afghanistan today with borrowed money. We are keeping our troops in Iraq today, and we're going to keep, certainly it looks like, probably 100,000 of them there, the non-combat troops, but that doesn't make me feel any better. I'm sure they're not sending their rifles, their hand grenades home when, of course, they're considered non-combat troops. But we're funding all of this with borrowed money. I mean, no one individual would ever try to spend themselves to prosperity, and yet it seems that this is what successive administrations, both Republican and Democrat, are doing. But I think the day of reckoning is coming. I think it's coming very soon. And I think that within the next year or so, there's going to be a major catastrophe that's going to force people to look squarely at what's happening economically.
Well, if you take a look already, Dr. Stan, at the poll numbers, I've been tracking both the misery index, which when it gets to double digits, and the misery index is combining the unemployment and the inflation rate, President Obama's got now over an 8% misery index. When unemployment gets to 10%, a double-digit misery index almost always means the president's going to lose the next election.
Well, of course, it's going to be very interesting. We'll have a pretty good idea of the American people feel when the congressional elections come up next year. In fact, certainly in the early part of the year, while the primaries will be held, I think there are a lot of the Democratic congressmen who ran against the war when it was run by the Republicans, and then now they're forced to back the war because it's being run by a Democrat, and certainly we are expanding the war in Afghanistan. They're talking about more and more people there, more violence, more opposition. How many more men are we going to send over there to fight in a war that will never be won because, of course, nobody's conquered that country since the time of Alexander the Great? Why don't you go right ahead, and we've got 3 minutes, Jerome, for you to wrap up the program.
Well, I think, Dr. Sam, we're seeing that the economics, and this is, you know, the economic laws, Barack Obama can be a radical.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
carbon trade will go down, I don't know. But I think it's behooves people across America to let their elected representatives know how they feel about these programs, which are designed to destroy our country. Now, what does Barack Obama really believe? What motivates him? Well, for 20 years, he sat at the congregation of a minister named Reverend Wright, who on many occasions said, God D America, God D America. Certainly Reverend Wright pointed out many of the problems in America. But, of course, I could look at the same problems and be concerned about them. But Reverend Wright hates America. President Obama sat there in that congregation for 20 years. He only left it when it was brought out during the campaign. Then he realized, of course, he would not be able to ascend to the presidency unless, of course, he left that congregation. But for 20 years, he sat under the tutelage and the friendship and shared his life with a man who hates America. He is a disciple of a man named Saul Alinsky, who in his book, Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky dedicated the book, Rules for Radicals, to the first radical, Lucifer. And we have a copy of the book. If you want to see the page, there's no question this is what we're up against. But behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces. And unless you understand the spiritual forces that energize Barack Obama, that energize the people who control him, and those are the members of the Trilateral Commission, and the Council on Foreign Relations, which was formed as a front for a secret society, formed in 1891. All this is covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you can't afford the book, you can watch it on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Scroll down to videos and scroll down videos to Brotherhood of Darkness. You want to get the book, I hope, so that you'll have the references and you can find out if what I'm telling you is true, because it will give you an entirely different view of who really runs the world today. You need to get our talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get our talk on the financial Armageddon, which points out that this whole financial collapse was specifically engineered. It didn't have to happen. It could be remedied tomorrow, but they don't want to remedy it tomorrow. They want to impoverish the American people because that is the plan. If you want to read the plan, it's in the Earth Charter. And if you'd like a copy of the Earth Charter, you get anything from us, why, we'll be glad to send you a copy of the Earth Charter written by David Rockefeller's nephew. And David Rockefeller is the man who organized the Trilateral Commission that controls the Obama administration. If you want to get into that, we cover that in my talk on the financial Armageddon, but we also have an excellent DVD put forward by Pat Wood. It's the talk he gave at our last conference. And basically, Pat Wood talks certainly about the background of the Trilateral Commission and how they created this whole financial collapse. It didn't just happen by accident. It wasn't inevitable. It wasn't a matter of bungling. It had nothing to do. We had no idea that the housing crisis was going to end up the way it did, that derivatives were dangerous, that the system was going to collapse. They collapsed the system. Why? Because, as they say in the Earth Charter, we want equitable distribution of wealth between nations. That means transferring your wealth and the wealth of your family and, of course, of your children to other nations so that we can have the same high living standards that they have in Thailand and certainly in India and in China. That's what it's all about. That's what it says in the Earth Charter, equitable distribution of wealth between nations. Once you understand that, everything going on begins to make sense. So we encourage you, of course, to call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a catalog or a newsletter, we'll be glad to send it to you. You need to get the Secret Mystery series of DVDs. You need to get the talks on Satanism and, of course, on satanic crimes. And the Bohemian Grove, where our leaders put on their gowns and caps and of course, carry out his feigned human sacrifice. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates, who, of course, is going to be talking about the whole process of sustainable development, how there is an organized, orchestrated effort across the United States, indeed across the entire world, to bring about a highly centralized government. We hear a lot about people concerned about the new identification cards they want to give to everybody in the United States. And, of course, the list last week, why there was effort to put something through called the PASS bill, which is being the PASS bill is going to repeal the National ID Act, which was terrible. Actually, the PASS Act is far worse than the National ID Act, and of course they want everybody in the United States to have an identification card. But what you don't understand is that this is not simply in the United States. In India, with 1.2 billion people, they are going to issue an identification card to every one of those 1.2 billion people. Here in the United States, people are concerned because people from the Census Bureau have gone out a year early to get the GPS markings on every home in the United States. Why are we waiting until 2010, as we are ordered in the Constitution or directed in the Constitution? Because the people who run the world are on a timetable, and they're moving fast to consolidate their power because they fear people are going to work up. So what we are doing is getting the GPS coordinates on every home in the United States. But this is an international program. They're doing this all throughout the world. But you're not being told this, that this is part of a world movement that goes right along with what our guest this evening is going to be talking about. Michael Shaw is going to be talking about sustainable development, a worldwide movement to bring in an authoritarian world government. Michael, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And as always, I sit riveted to your introduction because you're always nailing one piece of that puzzle, which they wrap under the phraseology, sustainable development, comes out of the UN's Agenda 21 program that was adopted in 1992, and it is now in every county in the United States, it's in every country in the world, it is the globalist movement with its action plan, sustainable development, and whether it's controlling our every move or watching our every move or managing our economic affairs, managing really the actions that we take.
I mean, really, we're hearing a lot about how they're trying to get us out of our gas guzzlers, our big old cars. They'll give you almost $4,500 for your old car. They're doing the same thing over in Europe, incidentally, giving people lots of money if they'll just turn in their older cars. And everybody says, well, they're trying to save gasoline. Have you ever started to think that all the new cars have electronic gadgets in they can control, and they can monitor that car and tell exactly where you are and turn it off anytime they want to? Has it ever crossed your mind the reason they're putting out all this money really has to do with controlling the public? And when they tell you, we're going to give you $4,500 for your old gas guzzler, come on, it's free money. We're going to give it to you just because we like you. Don't you believe it for a minute. It's all about control. Michael, you picked the story up.
Well, let me step back from those specifics, which are always very necessary for people to get the gist of what's happening. But viewing it from a broad perspective, the goals of sustainable development are first to abolish private property. Now, that may sound like an absurd thing to be saying in the 21st century, but we are well down the road in the state of California to where private property has been abolished. The emerged principles of social justice may or may not determine in its wisdom, in its time-from-time wisdom, to allow the use and enjoyment of private property. So as a concept in this state, the concept of private property has been abolished. This is one of the goals, the prime goals of sustainable development. Now, the terms and the obviousness of that abolition will become only apparent over time. But today, for instance, in the city of San Jose, one-third of the housing has a redevelopment label over it, allowing the government to partner with any businessman of its choice for the demolishment up to one-third of the housing stock in San Jose, under the concept of sustainable development, moving people out of suburban housing and into density housing. That is one of the land use elements of the sustainable development program. It's called smart growth. Jam everybody into cities and pile them up. And keep the wildlands open for species other than human beings. So the program is vast in its approach. It is the abolition of private property.
And, you know, I hadn't even heard of this legislation as far as San Jose. I've heard rumbles about it, but did they actually enact that they can actually, through eminent domain, take over a third of the property there in San Jose?
Yes. Now, that happened several years ago. It's been on the books a good while. It's sort of like the mountain areas here in Santa Cruz, which had legislation passed some years ago that makes everything subject to certain wildland management rules that really give the government the authority to order the removal of any home or any road in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Now, they haven't been exercising that ordinance yet, but it's there, but it's been on the books long enough, they'll begin exercising it. Exercising it blatantly. Of course, they are exercising it in piecemeal steps now.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kirsten Michael Shaw is just talking about the legislation that is on the books in our county and in the adjacent county, Santa Clara, which will allow the county government simply to take over property through eminent domain, and any time they want to move the people out of a third of the homes in San Jose, they have the authority to do it. They can do the same thing with the people who live in the mountains in Santa Cruz. This is already the laws on the book. They're not going to implement it yet. But all they're doing is waiting for an opportunity to justify it, cut off the water, keep you from being able to have a well on your property. You won't be able to live in your home. And what people don't understand is what Michael points out. There really are people who hate private property, who hate individual freedom, who hate humanity, and they want to control everything. So go right ahead, Michael.
Well, that's true. There are those people, but it takes a lot more people than that to make what's happening happen. What's relied upon and what's the case normally in local circumstances is that the useful idiots, the term that Vladimir Lenin used to refer to the implementers of the Soviet system in Russia back in the early part of the 20th century, but today's useful idiots promote the sustainable program, oftentimes without having any idea of the real consequences, in fact, of what they're doing. So our problem becomes more complicated because it's evil leading large brigades of what evil considers to be useful idiots, and which we consider to be very misled, misguided, and misdirected people. And it's these people that in our local communities are implementing in every county in America the policies of the Agenda 21 Protocol. Sustainable development is what it is normally called here in the United States, and it is affecting your community. If you live in rural areas, the oppression has become quite obvious. If you live in the urban areas, pay attention to what's happening in the rural areas and be ready for what's going to happen in the smart growth zones of this nation.
Well, I think they're going to move just as fast as they possibly can, and certainly as fast as the people will let them, because they are a small minority, but they are well organized, and they have the power of law, which they have passed illegally in violation of our constitutional concepts, but they don't care about the Constitution. What they really care about is control.
Well, that's certainly the case at the top levels. The implementers need to think twice, because as the system begins to unfold, they're no more secure and no less enslaved than the rest of us. So everybody needs to step back and make assessment of this accelerating change happening in the United States. The change has been going on for 100 years, but it is now rapidly accelerating as it approaches what it thinks is its finish line. And that's why the people need to understand the sustainable philosophy and the sustainable policy. And to Freedom Advocates and a lot of other organizations around the country, the effort is to get the information in a useful fashion to the ordinary citizens so that we can begin to understand and respond to the sustainable development globalization of our nation, meaning the abolition of national sovereignty and the concession of an American submission to a new world globalist order that seeks the abolition of private property, the reduction of human population by up to 85%, and the control of all human action. That's what sustainable development is. It comes in inch field kind of advances, with a constant barrage of these inchworms advancing to that objective, but in their own writings, and clear with the commitments that we see being made around the world today to this new global order. We see evidence of the effectiveness of the plans that have been laid out in documentation that is online as part of the United Nations. And so the verification of the existence and operation of the sustainable movement is clear. Our work at Freedom Advocates is to make that clearness evident to a person who wants to research this issue with a limited amount of time, or a person who wants to really study this issue with unlimited amounts of time. The message can be delivered fairly quickly and easily, and for astute people, they can see the pattern pretty readily, and once you've seen the pattern, you understand how it works. You don't have to be worried about being sucked into one of their points, one of their 1,000 points of darkness is what I always refer to it as, because we can be sucked into one of their sucker plays. But once we see the pattern, we know the philosophy behind it, it's pretty tough for you to be suckered. We need more and more people understanding the nature of sustainable development, bringing that message to the local community, because it is the local communities with people who understand how we're being attacked that will save the American ideal. It's not going to come from Washington. It's not going to come from Sacramento. It's going to come from your county.
And because really, it's I think we all want to preserve the environment. We love the forests and the woods. People don't understand that, of course, the other people on the other side said we love the forests and the woods too. I mean, we want to preserve them, and yet, of course, they're doing everything to be sure that they burn. In fact, Michael had the opportunity of hearing one of the people from Washington, D.C., talking in private to what these people were, and it's not as far as the forests burning, no, let them burn, but make them burn. They want to be destructive. They want to destroy the animals and all the fauna and the flora of the forest, but they can't let the people know that. Oh, no, we love the trees. No, it's all about control. It's about destruction. It's about depriving people of the right to their property. And suddenly when they are able to take control of things, they will tie them up. They really want to destroy the mining capacity here in the United States. So we are dependent on other countries for the natural resources. They want to keep us dependent on other countries for oil. We've got some of the largest oil reserves in the entire world, oil, natural gas, even coal, clean coal, the clean coal reserves here in the United States. They've all been certainly tied up by the environmentalists, financed by the great oil companies, so that they would be able to prevent any competition. That's what it's all about. But the average environmentalist doesn't understand why the great oil companies would finance the environmental movement that supposedly are against the oil companies. And very simply, because, of course, the major oil companies don't want any competition coming in, and they can always, of course, control the leaders of the environmental movement by, of course, bribing them. They've done this for years, and the average environmentalist has no idea what's going on.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, let me go back to the discussion you had about fire, the make-it-burn policy that you described and attributed to me is true enough. But when you get to the bottom of the whole forest lack of management and massive fire increase dynamic, the purpose of these fires is to move people out of the wildlands and into the smart growth zones. So if we want to really understand what the sustainable development motivation is in the phony land management policies being implemented by federal government order leads to these increases in fires, when the fire burns under these environmental pretexts, the government officials really work to affect the make-it-burn policy. But the purpose for having a make-it-burn policy is to move the people out. Now, people in the country need to understand the political movement that's against them. They understand things are not going well. They need to understand the nature of the political move working against them. And people in the city need to understand that when the rural people have been evacuated from rural areas, the resources that run our lives in our cities simply will not be made available to us. And when that happens, we can understand how it is the sustainable development documentation, UN documentation, which actually calls for the reduction of human population by 85%, can come to pass. Because once we cut off our natural resources, which we are well underway to doing, our population will be reduced. That's one way the population reduces. Many other plans, I think, are in the works, including all of these hyped up flu scares. The problem is the power and the money has become centralized. It's become centralized under the system of fiat money, meaning money created out of thin air by a narrow cadre of globalist bankers who then earn interest on every funny money dollar they print, paid for by taxpayers. The concentration of financial power as a result of that going on in Great Britain for 250 years and here in the United States for 100 years, leads us to the point where we are now. And that is that this money has coordinated an action plan, a globalist movement to take down the United States of America, every other country, and give us a system of global collectivism where a reduced number of human beings will live as slaves.
As incredible as it may sound, that's exactly the plan. If you don't believe that they intend to kill off most of the people in the world, you really need to go to Elberton, Georgia, see the Georgia Guidestones, or read what these people have said. And, well, we'll talk more about that when we get back. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, let me read out of the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, a 1,300-page document that was the subject of
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
New World requires, under the Sustainable Agenda, Development Agenda 21 Protocol, it requires that the individuality of human beings be ignored. It imposes a system of social justice, meaning the law gets its result depending upon what result it seems socially appropriate, meaning that law changes and that law is applied differently to different groups. Now, the principles of social justice are deeply embedded in American society today. Your average trial court judge thinks themselves to be an advanced social justice judge. Law schools teach the principles of social justice. Now, America, as the unique political experience in the history of the world, was founded, was unique, because of its system of justice, which is a system known as equal justice, where all people have the same treatment under the law, and where the law recognizes that there is a higher law, the principle of unalienable rights, that reigns supreme over whatever a legislature might write. It's an entirely different philosophical, even theological, assessment of the law. Law in America today has changed. We have the sustainable development ingredient of social justice having swamped and overwhelmed the American principles of equal justice. We are now beginning to pay the price for that. And the price comes when we begin to understand that our money system is controlled by a narrow elite who've always said that if we could control the making of money, we can control the making of law. Today, argument is cleanly made that that's exactly what's happened. And if that's happened, it's not unreasonable for reasonable people to begin to think in terms of planning for the worst and then going to work for the best. The worst is we go through a period in this country where the dollar has been destroyed in order to further the implementation of Agenda 21 so as to meet their schedule. To prepare for that, people need to have sources of barter. They need to have sources for food production. They need to have their debt managed and preferably eliminated, even home debt if that's possible. And then people need to go to work to neutralize at the local level, because sustainable development's motto is global, meaning global governance, to local, meaning to local control. The global to local program can only be defeated by battles waged on the local front. Because the national and international politicians have been bought off, are part of the internationalist scheme, they are not going to save the day for us. So the goal is to understand sustainable development so that it can be exposed and neutralized on the local level. When that happens, people will begin to be elected to Congress to do it on a national level. Our efforts at Freedom Advocates are to give you the tools necessary to begin to cause your community to become informed and take reaction. Dan, I think our times are getting tight.
I know our times are getting tight. And I've been at it for 47 years, as you know, and we're moving very, very rapidly towards the climax of history. And people have to, first of all, find out if what Michael Shaw is saying is true. I can guarantee it is. Every bit of it's true. And the material is there, the Global Biodiversity Assessment. You can order it from your local library or certainly your bookstore. Or if you want a summary, we have that, that I'm sure Michael has as well. The Earth Charter. Get the Agenda 21. Find out what these people are doing. People of great wealth working to centralize power for a different agenda because they want a different type of world. We'll be back in a moment.
From
Well, Michael, go right ahead there. And, of course, I'd love to hear Kate Smith sing God Bless America. I hope we'll be able to continue hearing that. And I hope that one day why America will be worthy of God's blessing, but I fear it's not at the present time. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, I think part of our problem is that the American people have fallen for the claptrap that we're a democracy. You know, Plato said that democracy leads to anarchy, which he said is mob rule. Well, do you get the feeling that might be happening? James Madison was, I think, even more expressive. He said, democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention. Democracies have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property. And in general, said Madison, democracies have been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their death. I went to a parochial grammar school, and I remember just knowing by the eighth grade that America was a republic.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Michael Shaw. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Michael was pointing out the very important difference between a republican and democracy. I would point out to our listeners, you've been lied to in school, you've been lied to in university, you're being lied to by the media, you're being lied to by your politicians. America is not a democracy. America is a republic. And there's all the difference between a republican and a democracy as there is between day and night. And, of course, pick up the story. But before we do, Michael, let's go ahead at this point and get out your telephone number for Freedom of Advocates. Tell people what they'll get there. Give them a telephone number, a website, and then we'll get back to the difference between a Republican democracy, which is why we're in so much trouble today. They've deceived the American people into believing that whatever Congress wants to do, it can do. After all, it's majority rule, isn't it? Or representative majority rule, or, well, maybe that's all a lie. Maybe there are people who want a dictatorship, knowing people will always vote for the man who promises to give them the most until all power has been centralized in Washington, D.C. And freedom, as we have known it, simply becomes a remembrance of things past. But before we get to that subject, let's get your information out here.
Well, I'm the president of FreedomAdvocates.org. You can find it at the website easily enough. When you get there, you'll find audio, video, and all kinds of print material that it really is focused and encapsulates the dynamic of sustainable development, what it looks like, how it gets into your towns, what kind of organizations bring it into your towns. And from that, you get basic ideas on how to expose the invasion of the sustainable globalist Agenda 21 into your community, to your community, because as it sits today, in most communities, it just happens without any notification. So when you understand what it is, you begin to see how it's happening in your town, we've got the materials to help you get your neighbors understanding this stuff as well. So our phone number, if you've got questions or want to contact us for some reason, our number is 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232. FreedomAdvocates.org. You know, it's the place where you can learn this dynamic as well as get materials that can be used. We call them neighborhood tools. They can be used to help bring others who are aware that something is wrong in America, that basic liberties are being threatened, the economy seems to be being tripped up, the economy seems unreal to begin with. Maybe it is. What we need is an honest system of money, and from that, good things can happen. As long as we have this fiat system of funny money made out of thin air by a narrow cadre of globalist bankers accumulating economic power so they can gain political power over all the peoples on earth. And when we see that, when we see those connections, we begin to understand how threatening sustainable development policy really is, because there's a lot of muscle behind that sweet-sounding environmental movement that's going on in your community. Understand that sustainable development has as its cover a phony environmental perspective that says make the forest burn, you know, rather than make the forest productive. But what is behind the environmental movement is a new system of justice that is going from equal justice to social justice, as we talked about earlier.
And let me recommend the material that Michael Shaw puts out. It's very well done, very professional, very accurate, and it will give you the information readily that you need, not only to educate yourself, but to educate others. So I recommend those sites to you once again. Once again, the telephone number to call, if they'd like to call.
It's 831-684-2232.
All right, fine. You go right ahead. Before I so rudely interrupted you, you were talking about the difference between a republic and a democracy, and you'd certainly given the definition of democracy by John Adams, the definition of democracy by James Madison in the 10th of the Federalist Papers. Incidentally, that's the reason that they never teach that section of the 10th of the Federalist Papers by Madison, is because they do not want the American people to understand that our founding fathers did not want a democracy. And yet, of course, that's what everybody tells you we are today. It just shows you how effective their control is over what the American people think. So you go right ahead with your story there, Michael.
Well, you know, I was talking about how as an eighth grader, understanding that America is a republic, and understanding that it was a republic because we followed a higher law that recognized, that politically recognized the existence of inalienable rights, which really were a reflection or an indication that man is made in the image and likeness of God. These unalienable rights, these things that are built into our being and which cannot be taken out of us, they can be repressed by government, but they can't be taken out of us because they're part of our nature as human beings. So I understood and was informed well by these good sisters that America was not a democracy, that a democracy, as Madison and Plato before him pointed out, is a very dangerous political condition. And I remember one day, you know, Starbuck, which was the public school across town, I learned, was taught that America was a democracy. And these are people who are today 59 years old. So they've had this scam going for a long time. The eighth grades were teaching that America was a democracy 45 years ago. Today, it's an absolute. From grammar school, government, and often private, through Berkeley or Jesuit colleges.
And yet, if you read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, the actually Constitution of any one of our 50 states, you will never once see the use of the word democracy other than to decry it and say the last thing we want is democracy. We want a republican form of government. How could that be true, and yet 99% of the people don't know it? Why, very simply, there are people who control our media, control our reality. It's time we took our control of our own minds back and sought the truth.
The idea here, too, is that America is a republic, a republic based upon the concept of limited government, so that the nature of unalienable rights can be politically protected. But as we turn to a democracy, unalienable rights are wiped off. We turn from a system of equal justice to social justice, and we forget about the greatest advancement in the human experience was the political recognition of every human being's unalienable right. Democracy negates that. Mikhail Gorbachev, more recently than James Madison, said, "We want more socialism, and therefore we want more democracy." You see, private property is the target of sustainable development, and that's why our children are being taught to become part of a democracy as short in their lives as they have been violent in their death.
And that, of course, is the history of mankind, and certainly is nothing new under the sun. They tried, setting up a democracy in Greece. It didn't work. The Romans created a republic. It worked very well, but eventually it degenerated into a democracy, and of course that, of course, led ultimately to the destruction of the western segment of Rome. In 476, that's 476, and it was until 1776, then another republic was established. But go right ahead.
Well, when we talk about the difference between democracy and republic, the key element that pops out is, it has to do with the nature of the understanding of unalienable rights. Because the limited republican form of government that America was founded to be was founded that way so that there can be this political protection of unalienable rights. That is the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to the use and enjoyment of property. Sustainable development, when it's understood, can be seen in contrast as the process of death, tyranny, and collectivism. So we're standing on the edge of a divide in the road. We've got one or two paths to go. We can take that democratic course towards socialism, death, tyranny, and collectivism, or we can go the other way and move towards a society that is based upon the principles of life, liberty, and property.
There's somebody named Susan from Santa Cruz who called in and asked if you'd expound on why fighting Agenda 21 is like fighting one war instead of many. Why fighting Agenda 21 is like fighting one war instead of many. I've never really thought of that, but I think that she's absolutely right. Would you want to pick that idea up at all?
Well, I would, because I think she is right on target. You know, we have a choice. We can fight 1,000 wars. I mean, America is being taken down from 1,000 perspectives, from the Real ID Act that you spoke about earlier, now called the PASS Act, that's ready to be passed in Congress, to the bailout programs, water dynamics, to the building department dynamics, to, you know, there's just so many battles going on across the countryside.
Don't forget cap and trade and Obama health care, and all of these are side issues. They're important issues, but there is a common denominator. That's really the point, so pick up the story.
Yes, it's the common denominator of understanding sustainable development, because they are all outgrowths of the sustainable philosophy. If we kill the philosophical root that gives flower to all of this, then the plant will be out of the garden. This is a plant that simply runs over everything in its path, poisoning everything, taking control of humanity. And if we understand the philosophy and the policy and the direction behind the sustainable program's implementation, we then make 1,000 attacks all at once. We change our politicians who, whether they're Democrat or Republican, are committed through their party's leadership focus to the implementation of sustainable development in America. Meaning that the political elected officials are trading in on the American history's commitment to the principles of unalienable rights and individual liberty.
And, of course, we are being betrayed by our leaders. Now, I would suggest that most of our congressmen don't know the difference between a Republican democracy because they're victims of the same fraudulent education I got. I graduated from the University of California in Berkeley back in about 1948 or 1949. Actually, I got my degree, my Bachelor of Science, but part of it was in history. I was a minor in history. I didn't know any of these things in 1949. It took me many years to unlearn everything that I had learned in college, thinking I was so smart because I had an education. I wasn't educated. I was indoctrinated. And ladies and gentlemen, you must understand we're dealing with a truly diabolical plan to control the minds of the American people, to form their taste, or to create their concepts, and it's about time we took control of our own minds and began, of course, to try to preserve our country, because time is very, very short. We're moving into catastrophic times. We're moving into a time when they're going to destroy the economy of our nation, when they're going to plunge us into conflicts and chaos. And well, if there aren't enough people at that time who either know or who care, then America, as we know it, known it, will simply become a remembrance of things past. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, let's talk a little bit about unalienable rights. There's one curious dynamic that people who want to dig down and refresh their understanding or gain their understanding of what unalienable rights is that there's an obstacle that exists out there today in regard to the study of unalienable rights. You know, if you went to a dictionary, a modern dictionary, and looked up the word unalienable used in the U.S. Declaration of Independence, and compared it with the UN Declaration of Human Rights, it uses the word inalienable. That's I-N instead of U-N. Now, if you go to the dictionary today, you'll find that inalienable and unalienable are defined the same. If you look at a dictionary 150 years ago, you find that inalienable was defined then as it is now, meaning that a right that cannot be taken from you, but by law. In other words, the law can change and you lose your right. But as long as the law says you have a right, your inalienable right means you're backed by the law. Unalienable, in its origin and in its meaning by Thomas Jefferson, meant a right that is imbued within you and that cannot be taken away. They can't simply pass a law to say your life is to end. They can't simply pass a law to say that your liberty to speak or to worship or to earn is eliminated. You have an unalienable. That means granted by our Creator, built within our beings. A major difference in the meaning of those words, in the historical origin of this country when those words became used and important, and over time, the dictionaries have eroded the meaning.
And of course, the one thing, that's why they had to take God and prayer out of our schools, because our rights came from our creators, and we can't let our children know, of course, that rights come from a creator, that our freedom comes from our creator, because the people behind this hate God. And they hate freedom, and they hate humanity, and they have a different worldview. They want a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and a one-world religion, with the destruction of Judaism and Christianity. Well, Michael, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program.
Well,
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm tell everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Important part of what's going on. Part of that is, of course, the outlawing of DDT, not because it was destroying the agriculture or destroying the environment, but because it was saving so many human lives. And you must understand, these people hate humanity, and they really want to kill as many people as they possibly can. DDT was saving too many human lives. That's why, of course, they outlawed DDT after we'd done away with malaria here in America. But, of course, we didn't want to do away with it in Africa. And every year, between 300 and 500 million people contract the disease. They tell you only a million die. It's really 3 million. They don't want you to realize how vicious these murderers are who hold the reins of power in their hands today. They create new diseases like AIDS. Do you think it was just by accident that 8 different subtypes of the HIV retrovirus occurred spontaneously all over the world at just about exactly the same time? I mean, do you really think that happened simply by accident? And I don't. I believe that these are created epidemics, and I believe that they are working to create new and terrible diseases today to eliminate large parts of the population. If you've not seen my talk on planned population reduction, or my talk on population control, or my talk None Dare Call It Genocide, they are available from Radio Liberty. Certainly we have the documentation on everything we talk about. You haven't read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. It still is the best book on the politics of AIDS, although when I wrote it, I really didn't understand that there was an agenda to kill off large parts of the black population throughout the world. It is not simply by accident that almost half of the new AIDS cases in the United States are within the black community. It is not simply by the chance that 46% of the pregnant women in Botswana today are HIV infected, and they're all going to die. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with one of the worst crises and catastrophes in human history. If you've not yet read my Population Control Agenda monograph, That's the Population Control Agenda Monograph. It is available on our website, or if you get anything else that we offer, why would we glad, and just at request the Population Control Agenda Monograph, we'd be glad to send you a free copy. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then if you're interested in this whole global warming scam, we have, of course, the Global Warming and World Government by Dr. Michael Kaufman, Emerging Science by Dr. Kaufman, the two DVDs. We've got the Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming by Thomas Wood. It's a book. We have Global Warming Allegor, or Climate Change Allegor, I guess it is. Sydney, and another excellent book on the fraud of global warming. We have a four-tape set on global warming. You must understand that they have lied to the American people about this. I mean, carbon dioxide makes up 0.038% of the atmosphere. That's all it is. It used to be 0.028, it's 0.038. The level of carbon dioxide is rising because the temperature is rising. And, of course, if you look at Al Gore's charts, he will never let you see them closely, but if you look at Al Gore's charts, you find out the CO2 level rises after the temperature has risen down through the millennia. Why? Because you heat up the ocean and it drives the carbon dioxide, which are a great carbon dioxide sink. That's the carbon dioxide absorbed into the water. And, of course, then you heat it up and it comes out of solution. But they're never going to tell you that. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.